AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on the second weekend of the new league season. Russell Martin still looking for his first Premiership win after home disappointment against Dundee for Rangers. Celtic win at Pittodrie, 6 points from six, and yet still lots of talk about what the squad will look like come the end of the window. There were big results up and down the country, and Lennon Miller's today flown out for a medical with Udinese. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me this evening you have Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna.
And it was deja vu all over again in the Premiership at the weekend. Gordon, Celtic, as you say, beat Aberdeen at Pittodrie again. Rio Hatate scores up there again. Scotland's Euro Adventurers failed to win on Sunday again after their continental exploits on Thursday. Lennon Miller sat out a Motherwell game again, and now we all know why. And Rangers dropped points in the league again after a huge night in Europe. And before anyone asks, Gordon, after yesterday's caller, I'm not going to get my hair cut either. I don't have enough of it.
The nation breathed a sigh of relief. Andy, what another weekend. We're back with a bang. It feels like so many talking points.
Yeah, and it is. And you've got to say, given Celtic's recent form against Aberdeen for the last decade or so, and the fact that Rangers were playing Dundee at home, evening kickoff on Saturday night, I thought it was going to be a fairly quiet Monday. Didn't turn out to be. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of angry calls tonight and loads to talk about.
Come on then, 0141-951-1025. You've hopefully had a bit of time to digest everything from the weekend. So how do you look back on it now? Rangers fans, a home draw against Dundee was not how you envisaged the first home game under Russell Martin going in the Premiership. So where did it go wrong? Which players are to blame? How does the manager fit into all of this? His post-match comments were very interesting. And there's the small matter of a Champions League qualifier tomorrow evening as well. So get all your calls in right now, please, on 0141-951-1025. Celtic fans, it wasn't an easy fixture on paper. I know the record's been good, but still going to Pittodrie, it was a very comfortable 2-0 win. How satisfied are you? How close is that to the level you want to get to? Or is there still a lot to go? And as has been the case for weeks now, a lot of it really is about what Brendan Rodgers says and what the club does between now and the end of the window. So if you have any updated thoughts on that, please do. On the transfer front, it feels like the saga of, I was going to say the summer, but it's really been going on since January. It now looks to be nearing its conclusion. Lennon Miller flying out this morning from Glasgow Airport, heading to Italy for a medical with Udinese. What do you make of that? Because that's not only one just for Motherwell fans. I think everyone has been keeping an keen eye on that one. And what a list of results over the weekend. It was a battle of the newly promoted sides. Well done to Livingston for coming out on top on that one. And talk about hangovers from Europe, I'm not so sure the effort that was put in yesterday. Two unbelievable games on the Sunday matches. So get all your calls right now, please. 0141-951-1025. These two will set the scene for you by giving out some awards. What was your result of the weekend?
My result of the weekend is going to go to newly promoted Livingston, playing another newly promoted outfit in Falkirk, a team you must say they had a very good record against last season. It was interesting to see how that would translate into obviously the top flight this season. And you've got to say David Martindale's men have started off in a rich vein of form, continuing off with the style of football that Martindale promised as well. So that's my result of the weekend.
I'll go for Hearts, I think. It's not been a bad week. When we were on the show last Monday night, it hadn't even kicked off their league season. Since then, they've got 6 points, Gordon. Three against Aberdeen last Monday, and three having come from 2-1 down at Tannadice at the weekend. And Stuart Finlay, three scoring. Anybody tip him to be top scorer in the league?
I don't think so. Honourable mention for Dundee, I'm sure, but I'm got a feeling we'll get to them as the show progresses. Now I'm interested. Mm-hmm. Goal of the weekend. Who are you leaving out? That's what I'm interested in. Because I know there are three at least.
I have to put my hand up. I went too early, Gordon. I said in the show on Saturday, I was claiming Lewis Smith's goal, started by Jerome Prior in the Livy goal, through Adam Montgomery and Macaulay Tate. Lewis Smith, boom, top corner. I thought, that won't be beaten. And then Sunday arrived.
Well, that was a nominee in what was an outstanding catalogue of goals throughout Scotland at the weekend.
But was the
for
best?
Me,
come on.
Stop the vote. Stop the count. We already have the 2025-26 goal of the season, and that is from Kilmarnock's Ben Brannan. There will not be a better goal this season.
I'm interested because you're usually a team move connoisseur. This was just an old fashioned
because the difficulty level on that is 10 out of 10.
Is he left footed, I take it?
And that is
no, I'm not sure. I don't think
he is. Not right.
And
no.
That is travelling from, without exaggerating, 30 feet in the sky. He's backpedaling, so he can't actually create any backlift himself. And he's just laces it inch perfect over Smith and the Hibs goal.
It was stunning.
Stunning.
A notable commendation for Rio Hatate.
All right, so you're sticking with Lewis Smith.
I have to.
Rio Hatate's doesn't even make it into the top two of the weekend.
No, third. Well done. Bronze medal.
It's a tough school on here. Right, go on then. Howler of the weekend.
Well, I'm going for this because it's a, on one hand, it's a sly dig at former pundit Matt Wilson. The decision to give Partick Thistle a penalty at Fir Hill at the weekend was quite simply laughable. I can't kid on and say I remember who the Morton defender was when I watched it, but I think it's Latosa that dives into the box for Partick. The Morton defender gets as clean a toe onto the ball as you will ever see. The ball leaves the field at 100 miles per hour, but the referee deems it a foul. Penalty, Partick.
Yeah, I'd love to stick up for my old pal on here, but I would be struggling to build a case.
Well, 7 days ago, I gave your brave Motherwell boys performance of the week for the point against Rangers, so you're now going to have to suck it up, because between you and St Mirren, you're getting the howler of the weekend. My pal, Archie McPherson, get wheeled out by Sports Scene at the age of almost 91 years of age, a former colleague here at Super Scoreboard, the 50th anniversary of the flagship TV show. They put the game on first in the telly on Saturday night, Andy. Archie, who's seen it all from Lisbon all the way through, nearly 70 years in broadcasting, and the two, you couldn't even give him a goal to call in. Hang your heads in shame, St Mirren and Motherwell.
I thought it was a decent 0-0. I've seen
worse. It wasn't a classic.
Well, I've seen worse than that. Oh, for goodness sake. Right, and your top man, top performer of the weekend was?
Well, Dennett McInnes and Jamestown Analytics have made some glamorous signings over the summer. Stuart Findlay was probably deemed not as glamorous as others, given his connection already to Scottish football, but what a signing he's proven to be already. I think that's his fourth goal of the campaign in all competitions. As Roger quite rightly pointed out, joint top goal scorer in the SPL after two game weeks, and his double at the weekend keeps Hearts top of the table, joint top with Celtic.
Well, it was going to have to be one of the Dundee back three. I was going to give it to Clark Robertson for his display at Ibrox. Andy said it should be Luke Graham for his display at Ibrox. I think the man of the match for the club was Ryan Astley, and he's never going to give it up. So any of the Dundee back three.
Yeah,
I'm just ignoring that. That's not interested fair. In your puns. 01419511025. Joe is first through. Joe, how are you?
Well, after that display at the weekend, panel, not very good. I thought that was an absolute woeful display from the team that started against Victoria Pleasant on Tuesday. They devoid ideas, looked as if they didn't know what they were doing. I think the team already, I think you're seeing the likes of Max Ahrens. I think he's going to be one of these ones again, that the Rangers jersey is just too heavy for him. It's just too heavy for him to carry it. There's been a lot of talk about getting him in his right position and getting Tavernier dropped and all the rest of it. Tavernier must be sitting on the bench laughing. He must be thinking, check this nonsense, because that's what it is. Absolute nonsense. I mean, even when we went down to 10 men and attacking, we had most of the ball, and we just totally devoid ideas, nothing in the final third. Just, I'm actually scunnered with it now, because we can potentially go into the middle of September now, 10 points ahead. Well, 4 points behind just, sorry, 10 points behind. We're 4 points behind just now. If we miss the week, obviously, if we get the game cancelled for the European game, everybody else gains a game there, and then they play the Old Firm game, and then if they beat us there, I mean, that's us 10 points ahead, and I'm sorry, but middle of September, that's just far too much for me and a lot of other Rangers fans to swallow. I just think Russell Martin, I mean, it was a very underwhelming appointment, and I will back him, but I just don't think he's going to do it. I don't think he's going to turn that around. And I just don't think he's the man to do it.
I'd always advise a bit of caution, because Joe's dropped more ifs than Hugh Keevans likes to does when he's running through his list of hypotheticals. However, before you even get to that, if Joe's describing himself as scunnered on weekend two of the season. That's not really the start that he and other Rangers fans would have had in mind.
Yeah, and if the manager gets his hair cut and if he starts wearing a collar tie to games, things will all get better, Gordon. It's difficult. Rangers are the greatest enigma that I can remember in football, in so much as they seem to handle the games against the bigger teams, Celtic and the European opponents, very well. And they struggle to handle the bread and butter against Motherwell and Dundee. And, you know, people can say, people have said to me, oh, you know, teams just sitting that low blocked like Dundee did, and then, you know, Rangers can't break them down, and that's a problem. I don't remember Motherwell really sitting in a low block last Saturday night in the first game of the season at Fir Park. So you can't say Motherwell played the way Dundee did, because they didn't. Rangers don't seem to be able to handle these games. They threw the kitchen sink at Dundee in the last 15 minutes on Saturday. After they lost the goal, after they lost Nasser Djiga to the red card, they were throwing bodies forward, they were throwing the ball into the box. And people like Joe and other Rangers fans have every right to ask, why weren't they doing that in the first 75 minutes? What, you know, does a manager tell them not to do that? Do they take it upon themselves not to do that? It was almost as if in Saturday, Gordon, they fell off the back of Victoria Pilsen, and all they needed to do was turn up and Didi would roll over and have their tummy tickled.
You've got thoughts on this. I know you've got thoughts on this.
Oh, loads.
Take it away.
Where do you want to start?
We're here till midnight.
Where do you want to start?
You decide.
Well, listen, I'll touch up on the point that Roger just said, where no, Rangers are struggling to, well, Rangers are perceived to struggle against teams that are in a low block. I always feel like it, for someone that's obviously played them in both sides of it, I think any team in the country, out with Celtic going away to Ibrox this season, everybody will have the same game plan, was try and stay in the game as long as you possibly can. Frustrate Rangers, and then your chance might come. The way Rangers approached the game in the first 20-25 minutes for me didn't even make Dundee defend. And people could talk about control and possession. It was all between the back four. It was all between the centre halves, and it just put Dundee under no pressure whatsoever. And I flip it towards comparing it when you go to Celtic Park, you go to play against Celtic. I think Celtic always treat these games at home as like a mini game, where they try and win the first 20 minutes, they try and blow teams away early on, and then the rest of the game takes care of itself. But I just thought Rangers were so passive, they were so safe in possession, it was so slow in tempo, and as you know, I was a big believer. I think Russell Martin was the man for the job. I still think there's loads of progress to be had, and I still think they're going to improve. But for me, the style of football at this moment in time isn't working. Rangers are building with a flat back four and Joe Rothwell in front of two banks of five against Dundee, so that you've effectively got six players attacking 11. For me at the moment, it's clearly not working in terms of style or tactically, but as I said, you're fully expecting it to improve.
I mean, Joe, we've kind of seen this before, where it's better in Europe than it is domestically, but this was supposed to be a style that's built to be better domestically, isn't it? You still, is there anything you're seeing that makes you confident that will be the case in time? How patient are you willing to be?
I will be patient. I'll continue to go and support them as I've done, even when we're in the third division, etc. I will continue. Rangers will never not get my support. But as Roger said there as well, we don't seem to be able to grind out these results against these teams like Dundee, and I mean, with due respect to them, Dundee, Motherwell, etc. We'll turn up probably tomorrow night, and we'll probably go to the Czech Republic and we'll beat this mob maybe 2-3-0 again. I mean, it's that way. You just don't know. You just don't know who's turning up. I mean, you don't know. I was at the game on Tuesday night. We were brilliant on Tuesday night, and I'm thinking, okay, we've turned a page here. He had the courage to make the big decisions, which everybody was calling for. He puts the same team out again on Saturday, and it was night and day. I mean, it was almost imposters. You're thinking, who are you people? Because, I mean, you're one of the same people that were there on Tuesday night. We just don't seem to be able to control a game. The game management, I think, is terrible. And it's not just Russell Martin. This goes back seasons. We don't seem to be able to control these games against these teams. We don't seem to be able to break them down. Even when we went down to 10 men, Dundee looked as if it was them that was down to 10 men, because we still had most of the possession. We still had most of the ball. We were still attacking them. And we seem to get 20, 22 yards out, side to side, back to back, back to back. Now, I know it's hard to play against 11 men when they're all behind the ball, but we just don't seem to have somebody that's got that bit of trickery or that somebody that's going to take it by the scruff of the neck and say, right, let's go.
Do you need to allow players though to do it in certain areas to make that happen? Because I think if we're all being fair, Gassama and Antman are upgrades. They're better equipped now, Rangers, in the wide areas than they have been. But presumably you need to give them or manufacture them the space to flourish.
And you also have to provide them with the ball. I don't know if you've seen the stats flying about on Twitter today, but John Sutter, who plays 90 minutes at the weekend, has 136 passes. Cyril Dessers, who plays 90 minutes, has 16. So for me, that shows that there's not enough supply getting into the front three to allow your danger men to create, to score goals. And you know, Roger mentioned the Motherwell game last week. I thought it was the same. For me, you play a possession-based football because it's your best chance of creating chances, scoring goals and winning games. At this moment in time, I don't think Rangers are creating enough. They're obviously not scoring enough because they've only scored two goals in two games, one being a corner that Tav gets his head on and one being a penalty for James Tavernier. So they're not creating enough, they're not scoring enough. And they also, at the moment, look a bit fragile when they lose the ball as well. So I think
Russell Martin's preferred style of play is not suited to a home game at Ibrox. There is no question about that. Joe and the other Rangers supporters will tell you that. They'll tell Russell Martin that. Russell Martin will have to find a way, at the minute, not long term, short term, he'll have to find a different way, because other teams, good teams, Hibs, Hearts, Dundee United, Aberdeen, St Mirren, they will all come to Ibrox ready to smother Russell Martin the way Dundee did at the weekend. Russell Martin will need to swallow his principles in the short term and start playing a more energetic, more front foot, more attack-minded form of football at Ibrox. Otherwise, the supporters like Joe will have grave doubts about him.
Let's thank Joe and ask Graham for his thoughts. Take it away.
All right, lads, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I just think the Rangers fans are just jumping on everything that happens because they didn't want Russell Martin. The last three managers have been the same. The only constant in that place is the fans. First mistake, we're on them. Booing players on. Booing them off at half time in a friendly. I'm not giving them any a chance. The players are playing with fear. They're fear to the end. We're asking John Souter to do something he can't do. John Souter can't play for the back. He's a defender. Block tackles and win headers. He can't do that. He's got to give him a chance to get all his players in, give him a wee run at it, and be a bit more patient. Nobody in Scotland thought Rangers would win the league this year. They've started poor, but it will get better. Just give him a wee bit of chance, time. I just think they've been a bit harsh. Boom, player going, that's disgusting, mate, for me.
Yeah, well, let's hear actually Russell Martin quickly on Kieran Dowell, because the player in question came on to not a great reception. This is the manager's take on that.
Yeah, that surprised me. So I'm not on any social media or anything like that, so I don't really know what the narrative is around Kieran. So I don't think it helps him. I don't think it helps the rest of the guys. I'm disappointed for Kieran because what we've seen at the training ground and when I speak to everyone there, he's really valued as a person and a character. And he's played out of position for us for three games. So today he actually played a bit more in his position and played forward. I thought he was good with the ball. He ran really hard for the team. And he's a really good footballer. So I don't really... I don't know what's gone on before. So we're just judging everyone off a clean slate. It's really difficult for supporters to do that, which I understand. And when he plays his actual position in this style of football, he can look really good. So all I would ask for is, you know, after the game you can express whatever you want. You're the supporters, you're the most important people, and I hope Kieran gets a chance to show what he can do, because as I said, from what we've seen in training, he can help the team.
Russell Martin wants a bit of patience. He didn't say the word, but you know, that's where he was going. Graham certainly wants it. Will they get it, Roger?
Listen, I think there's a wee bit of naivety in those comments from Russell Martin. He didn't know what's gone before. Well, he should know what's gone before. What's gone before is Kieran Dowell has been a really poor Rangers player for a period of time. to the extent that he was shipped out in the second half of last season at Birmingham City.
Now, you don't need to read social media comments to know that.
Of course you don't. People inside the football club should be informing Russell Martin of things like this. It's like pitching up and saying, oh, I didn't know we'd only won one title at the last 14. I didn't realise I was the fourth manager in 4 years.
But managers do say they like to give players clean slates. And, does it not extend?
But you need to be sensible about it, Gordon. You really do need to be sensible. Now, I'm sure he's a nice player. I'm sure he's showing up really well at the training ground. But until he shows up really well in games, and he still hasn't, then those Rangers supporters will question his involvement with the first team.
Yeah, listen, Rangers fans don't have the luxury of watching Rangers train every single day, so they can really judge performances on the field. I think it's pretty common knowledge that Kieran Dill hasn't done enough as a Rangers player on the pitch. That being said, I do agree with Graham's comments. I think the booing him in on the field is ridiculous. And I actually thought his reaction to being booed was good. I thought he was one of the more braver, shall I say, out the Rangers players. I thought he tried to affect the game and play forward. But the fact of the matter is, he's obviously not done enough since he signed for the club.
Thank you, Graham. If you want to join in the discussion, do it now. We'll speak to you next.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. Let's go back to the phone lines where Jamie in Kilmarnock is waiting. Jamie.
Hi fellas, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Just wanted to outline a couple of issues at Rangers that I believe is major problems. Given the fact last week against Motherwell, very poor. They go and change it against the Victoria plans in the European game with two wide men, Kasama and Antman, making a great difference in the wide areas with pace, and something Rangers have been badly missing in the wide areas particularly. But on a serious note, I can't understand for the life of me why they can't raise their game against mediocre teams. And no disrespect to Motherwell and Dundee's, but these are teams that Rangers in the past were actually beaten before they even get to Ibrox, etc. And I'm starting to wonder, is it a mentality thing, or is it that players get a bigger bonus against Celtic in these European games? I would like to think it's not a money thing, but it's crossed my mind why they can't get up for these games.
It's a good point you make, Jamie, because it's so early in the season, Roger, it may well change. But what's striking me from through the lens of Clyde One Super Scoreboard is we're having this exact same conversations that we always have, despite the fact this is all supposed to be different. Now, good or bad, only time will tell, but it was definitely supposed to be different. But this notion of, is it mentality or is it tactically, why is it easier in Europe or better in Europe? We have this conversation all the time.
Gordon, as I said to you at 6 o'clock, it's deja vu all over again. This is almost a repeat of shows of past seasons where Rangers have had a good result in Europe and come back and had a dreadful result at home. And people can say, oh, listen, it's really early in the season. I'll paint you a picture. I'll only give you one or two ifs, because you said, Joe, at the start of the show, had too many ifs. If Celtic beat Livingston a week on Saturday, when Rangers don't play St Mirren because the game's off ahead of the European playoff, Celtic goes 7 points clear of Rangers. The next fixture is at Ibrox. If Celtic win that game, Celtic could be 10 points clear of Rangers before the end of August.
This is still a lot of ifs for there me. I just don't like ifs. They just make me uneasy.
But it's not surprising that Jamie, a bit like Graham and Joe before him, are deeply concerned at the way Rangers have started the season, because if they don't shape up quickly, the season will be gone domestically.
But Andy, the same thing we keep wondering, because Jamie's saying, well, it's the same players, so therefore, is it them? Is it a mentality thing? Or tactically, Ergasama and Antman less effective at the weekend because they don't have space to run into the same way as they did in Europe, you know, versus this mentality thing?
Well, I think it's both, because Well, Russell Martin said as much in terms of the mentality and reverting to type against Motherwell in the first game week of the season. And I do think there's teething problems as well in terms of the style and tactically. And listen, you can completely understand the frustrations. Rangers fans in February felt the league title was over, and all the talk was about takeover, new players, getting rid of the old, new manager, new system, new season. And within two game weeks, you've not won a game. You're already four points behind in the two ifs that Roger just mentioned there. But I think where the big difficulty comes from, Russell Martin spoke at the weekend saying that at previous clubs he's been at, they've all went through this teething problem. The fact of the matter is that Rangers, as well as he knows, you still have to get the results while you're going through that.
What is the solution then, though? Because we were supposed to believe that this was... I'm not saying last season was rock bottom for Rangers, but there was this sense that, look, something drastic has to change. There's a takeover. It needs to be a new manager. So what are you saying? Rangers can only have a manager that does win straight away. How do you keep that cycle going?
No, because I've said it so many times before that I think in modern day football, I think having your style and your identity is a massive part of how you win football games. And I think that for me, Russell Martin's style at Southampton in the Championship was very enjoyable to watch. But it won football games. They scored 87 goals over the course of a season, so it was clearly successful. The argument, obviously, in the Premiership, they didn't change. I can understand that. But he's coming to a league now where you're already expecting them to have loads of the ball regardless of your style. But it's how do you create chances? How do you score goals? How do you win games? Now, I think the style we've seen at the moment, it's fine for keeping the ball. Of course it is. It's fine for possession. I think they have to find an adaptation within that to create more chances and score more goals and get the
see what I mean, though, Roger. We always do it. We wear it like a badge of honour. Go, you know, you don't get time in this city.
I completely agree.
At what point, actually,
Postecoglou did get time because he lost at Tynecastle. He had a dodgy first month and then he won the league.
And even at that, we're talking about a month. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
But the point I was about to make was, if you look at the two results Rangers have had domestically, Rangers have drawn at Fir Park before. It's not the first time it's happened. They probably lost at Fir Park before. James McFadden. Rangers have...
Are we going back to...
Well, Rangers have dropped points at Ibrox before. Ask Barry Ferguson, Philip Clement, Michael Bailey was on the telly today.
I noticed that, yes.
But there are ways of dropping points. At Motherwell in the first day of the season, Motherwell were the better team. Motherwell outplayed Rangers. Anyone wants to argue with that, phone in. On Saturday, at home to Dundee, Rangers didn't have 30 attempts in goal and hit the bar eight times and John McCracken wasn't making 14 wonder saves. They were very poor for a very, very long time and managed to get out of jail with a penalty in stoppage time. So the eye test tells you they're not playing very well, and if they don't start playing a whole heap better domestically, the heat's going to come on the manager.
Okay, let's thank Jamie for his input and see how Sterling feels about it. Sterling?
Hi guys.
How are you?
The first few callers basically took some of my points, and even the first caller used the word I was going to use was scunnered. I don't know how else to explain it going from the midweek game to the Dundee game.
That's a good one for me, because I think anything stronger you might get us shut down, because I can sense this is the type of week where people want to use sweary words. So scunnered will do me.
Yeah, that's fine. I can add a kind of more of a tactical point that I wanted to ask Andy specifically, obviously playing the game, about getting the wingers on the ball, because quite a lot of the time it's very slow to get to like a left centre back, then it will to Jesse at left back. Then if he passes it in a straight line up to Gassama, every single time that he got the ball, or near enough every single time he got the ball, Lyle Cameron would basically run in a diagonal line towards the corner flag and take players from the midfield over to Gustav's space. And it wasn't happening as much on Antman's side, but I feel like Diamandi was basically just running in straight lines towards the goal. But then I didn't feel like they did a good enough job at getting the wingers 1v1. And I don't know why like players like Cameron were basically taking midfielders over to the winger's space.
Yeah, for that instance alone, it's something they've done a lot. It's something they actually done for the first goal against Victoria Pilsen, and the reason for it is because they get Gassama in a 1v1 situation. Whoever's playing that left centre mid, albeit it was Lyle Cameron at the weekend, looks to run in behind where Gassama either has a slip pass for Lyle Cameron if he's not tracked, if he is tracked, they can then drive into the middle of the pitch. And you've got to say, it worked on Tuesday. It worked when Gassama then cuts inside, plays the 1-2 with Dessers and puts into the back of the net. But it's a completely, completely different challenge against Dundee when they're a back five and there isn't actually much space in behind to run and create that space to come in the inside and play 1-2s. Because Dundee, all credit to them, done a fantastic job of trying to sit in a low block, stifle Rangers, force them to play in certain areas where they can nick it and counter-attack. So for me, there has to be an adaptation to your style in games like that. Now, a really simple adaptation for me is more players playing higher up the pitch. We spoke about it to Gordon before the show. I keep seeing so many people talk about Rangers playing in inverted foot. Rangers haven't done inverted fullback since the Middlesbrough game. They've never done it against Motherwell. They certainly never done it at the weekend against Dundee. So they're building with a flat back four in the early build up. And for me, Joe Rothwell is playing really close to the centre halves. So Dundee have 11 players in front of 6 Rangers players, if you include Jack Butland. So they don't actually have enough bodies up the pitch to play closer to Dessers, to play closer to Gassama, to play closer to Ant-Man. So I think that is a big part of the learning curve that Russell Martin talks about. And he spoke about it after the game. He says he's learning about the players every day. The players are learning every day about his style. I hope a big learning curve already is not to have Nico Raskin sat on the bench, because he's Rangers' best player. He's been Rangers' best player for a long period of time. And Nico Raskin tackled more opposition players in 15 minutes against Dundee and Panathinaikos than Joe Rothwell's done in 5 games so far.
But surely, Joe Rothwell doesn't go out in the park, Andy, and say, I'm just going to stand in front of you again, Suter, for the majority of the game and not tackle anyone and just hang about here. He's clearly been told by the manager that that's what the manager wants him to do.
Yep.
And now, for me, it's abdicating responsibility, personal responsibility on the pitch. If the team's struggling, and as you say, he should have enough football knowledge in his head to try and drag the team forward. Callum McGregor does it with Celtic. Callum McGregor plays the number 6 role, as people talk about. Plays it 30 yards higher up the park than Joe Rothwell does.
Mm-hmm.
So you can play that role, but you don't need to do it where Rangers are doing it just now. I saw a heat map on a website earlier on about Rangers' passes at the game. It was like a big kind of horseshoe thing in the game on Saturday. And Cyril Dessers would have been as well going and sitting in the press box with Andrew McLean for all the service he was getting. It's not
a great
suited
view from up there. For him,
it's nice. It's good. Really it was good there on Tuesday night. It's not suited for what Rangers need and what Rangers fans expect at Ibrox.
What do you think, Sterling? Is that the answer you had in mind? It's a good question.
Well, I'll take on Andy's point about it works well against Pilsen, but after about seeing Cameron do it 20 times in a row, I thought he'd maybe try something different. So I don't know if that's Russell Martin's stubbornness and keep doing plan A better type scenario. But then another point I was going to make was I was really quite disappointed with the reaction to losing the ball that led to the red card. Suter plays a pretty poor straight pass in to I don't know who, if he was trying to pick at Dessers, but looked nowhere near him. Then there was still about 3 or 4 players around the Dundee player that made the pass, and not one of them really made an effort to go tackle. And then Aaron's started following the player that ended up getting Giga sent off and just stopped. He could have just followed them, but he didn't. So I was quite disappointed with the reaction.
Yep, listen, there's a lot to pick our way through. I'm going to have to knock it in the head there because we've run out of time, but it's some food for thought, I think. Sterling makes some good points, and Andy's tactical input, I've not got a clue what he's on about, quite frankly, but it sounds good anyway. Let me tell you about this. £547,000 up for grabs. Somebody has to win it, so it might as well be you. Get 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025. Those texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For one entry, text YES to 61025. Texts are £2.50 plus your standard network rate. You can call 03434 269340. Calls charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. The online entry and all the rules for this rail network competition are on our website. Lines close 5 p.m. Friday. Someone will win the lot. £547,000. Head to makemeawinner.co.uk.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here looking back on all the weekend's big talking points. It was a rerun of the Scottish Cup final. We all know how that one went, but it reverted to type, really, the form guide between the two. Celtic winning 2-0, a comfortable 2-0 at Pittodrie, a wonder goal from Rio Hatate that didn't even make it into goal of the weekend for these two. That's not my decision. You can pull them up on that. And yeah, Celtic 6 from 6 at the start of the new season. Let's ask Stevie what's on his mind as a Celtic fan after all that.
Well, that was a really good result for Celtic, and I must admit there's been times when I've thought Rio Hatate was really frustrating because he tries constantly that eye, threading that eye of a needle pass, and when it doesn't come off it looks really bad and there's a few moans and groans. But it showed you at the weekend why he's in the team, because he's one of the few players that can do something like that, a bit of magic, you know, and that sort of balances out for the other stuff. But my main point is, obviously, most Celtic fans now are really frustrated with the Celtic board and the lack of signings and all the rest of it. And I know there's still a wee bit to go on that, right? I was on last week saying that not only will we no buy somebody before the playoff, but we might even sell somebody if we don't make it. If Rangers are having a bad start, and they are at the moment, and I know it's, you know, it's always good when your rival stroke points and all that, but the danger for me is this board might look at that and say, do you know what? We've got enough here. There's no really the threat going to be there that we thought there was. We've got enough here. We don't need to buy anybody. Because they'll not need any excuse to not buy anybody. Right? Thankfully, Hearts look as if they've got to act together, and maybe we'll get a challenge. I like Celtic to have a challenge. It doesn't necessarily need to come to Ibrox, because it pushes Celtic on and it maybe stops the level of complacency. But most Celtic fans now are basically just resigned to the fact that this is not good enough. They don't want to spend the money. Somebody quipped, the battle is over. The war is over. The bean counters have won. Couldn't agree more.
There's always a theory in this city, Roger, and Stevie's theory is that Rangers' poor start to the season will damage Celtic's chances of signing more players, because they can just stay slightly ahead.
You listen to the mantra at Celtic Park in the last, you know, 15 years, they don't worry about anybody else, you just look after their own business. I'm not sure that's always correct, I have to say. I think, you know, they do look over their shoulder and see what the closest rivals are doing. Stevie, they have to sign somebody. They have to sign a centre forward. Worryingly, coming round to the Hugh Keevans way of thinking,
never.
That Adam Ida won't do. Celtic, even if you look, I'm not going back to the Henrik Larsson days, even in modern times, Celtic's attack has always been led by a top quality centre forward. Kyogo Furuhashi, Hodgson Edward, Moussa Dembele, Gary Hooper, Lee Griffiths, guys who would guarantee you 25 to 30 goals a season and maybe more from time to time. Adam Ida's not going to do that. He got 20 last season. I'm not sure he's got more than 20 in him. Celtic need someone who's going to play through the middle. It looks as if Maida's going to play in the left-hand side. The right-hand side still hasn't been sorted. Yang week one, Forrest week two. Jota's going to be out until Christmas time, New Year time. I think Celtic need a winger, and they really need a centre-forward.
I think Dyson Maida is Celtic's centre-forward. I think he's his best position specifically with this team. I've watched both Celtic games. I watched the game against Aberdeen at the weekend, and I thought the combination play between Dyson Maeda playing the touchline, playing really wide, and Greg Taylor playing as that inverted fullback last season worked extremely well, where he could feed Dyson Maeda balls to go 1v1, or he could look to make that dart in behind where Greg Taylor threads him through in between the centre-half and the fullback. I think now, obviously with Kieran Tierney on the pitch, where all of his strengths is being that fullback that plays on the touchline, gets at people 1v1s, puts ball in the box, which then forces Dyson Maeda in the pitch to be more as a pocket player than playing the pockets to receive it in between the lines. I don't think that's Dyson Maeda's football, his characteristics. So for me to get the best out of Dyson Maeda, I actually think it is up front in this team. But then to take it obviously out of the point with Roger, it then needs investment in the wider areas.
It needs two wingers.
It needs two wingers, yeah. Which I think is really important.
What do you think, Stevie?
Two options here. We either play Maida through the middle, and you know how successful that was last season, and we get somebody to take his place on the wing until Jota comes back, or we buy another striker, right?
Are you seriously, and I raised this point last week, are you seriously telling me we're sitting with X amount of millions in the bank, we've got a Champions League qualifier, assuming we get through, we're going to be up against top quality teams. Ajax showed you what you're up against. And we've gone into that with Yang and James Forrest, and we've still got Tilio in the building, and we can't let him go in case one of them get injured. I mean, really? That's the level of ambition? We need two wingers, we need a striker. Minimum.
It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. It's funny how the games are now coming secondary still to people who, you know, that was all well and good and we're 6 points, but let's talk about signings.
Oh, that's great. That's what this show's about. Let me talk about the football.
Are you mad as a striker? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you do have three strikers in the building just now. Whereas wingers, well, I feel as if they're really light.
Four, if you include Callum Osmond, who came in from Fulham. You know, Kenny got a shot week one, Yamara got a shot week two. And it's going to be interesting. They need a striker.
Stephen's on the other line. Stephen, take it away.
How are you doing, guys? All
good,
right?
Stephen. What did you make of the weekend then? How are you feeling now?
I'm all over the moon. First of all, can I say hello to Big Brian, who's probably stuck in the kitchen because his wife tells him not to listen to the radio in the living room?
I guess so. Yeah, hi, Brian, and Mrs. Brian.
And he can't say anything about it because she only probably is drinking, not a man, so... May luck.
Is Brian a work colleague or a friend?
Sorry?
Is Brian a work colleague of yours, a friend? What's the...
No, he's a friend for the pub.
Good, right. Anyway, anything else, Dad?
I've actually forgot my point.
I don't know, I can help you along. What did you make of Celtic yesterday?
Get Brian in the phone.
I was going to say, Wiley thinks about his point, can we get Roger's voice crack for last week? Didn't he?
Yeah, we need to dig that out.
Stephen, I forgot what I was going to talk about.
We'll just talk about the game yesterday. I don't know, Celtic, be pleased with the win, 6 points out of six, etc.
Aye, I was, but it was a guy, in fact, it was a guy earlier on talking about Rangers. We know that we're not going to win the league this year and whatever and blah, blah, blah. And, it's about building this up and that up. That's what they were saying when the 49ers came at them. They said, oh, we're going to have this and we're going to do this and we're going to spend this amount of money and whatever. Now it's backfired in the first two games of the season. Now, if Rangers don't beat St Mirren in their next league game and Celtic win theirs, from the end of August, Celtic could be 10 points clear of Rangers.
I keep hearing this. This keeps getting mentioned. It could obviously be the case, Roger. But to go back to another old theme from last season, those fixtures actually were the least of Rangers' worries.
Yeah,
100%. You know, it was the other one. So look,
we were dealing in ifs and buts.
Any thoughts on the game yesterday?
I thought Celtic did well. It was quite a professional performance. I think we'll take a lot of pluses out of it. Another point Andy was making about the dynamic between Maida and Tierney on the left-hand side. Tierney seemed to get a bit of space to knock that ball in for Benjamin Nygren for the first goal. The two new signings linking well. Defensively, they were never really troubled, were they? And I'm still fascinated by that midfield. McGregor, nailed on. Hattati, if he plays like he did and scores goals like that, nailed on. Arnie Ingles, £11 million, can't get into the team. Really, really fascinating. You know, when they signed Benjamin Nygren, we were saying, right, is Nygren going to play up front? Is he going to play in the right wing? Is he going to play in the left wing? I don't think any of us really thought he was going to go in place of Arnie Ingles in that sort of advanced number eight position. But he's earning his place.
Yeah, for what I've seen so far, I think he's nailed on. I watched the game yesterday. I was really impressed with him. I think he's got loads of attributes, and it looks as if Celtic have found another gem in the low price bracket, shall we say. It's an area where they're not really happy with what their board are spending with. But very similar to Roger, I thought it was a professional performance. I actually thought Aberdeen started the game okay in the first 15-20 minutes. But as soon as that goal went in for Benjamin Nygren, they never really looked back after that. And you've got to say, were Celtic at their top level? No, I don't think they were last week either, but they're doing what Celtic do and they've still won games to it.
Keep the calls coming, 01419511025. If there's something from the weekend that you want to discuss, phone us. It's the easiest way to get it on here, 01419511025, and it's the same number for this right now.
Beat
the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It's the 1 week anniversary of Roger Hannah losing, the earliest in the season he's ever lost at Beat the Pundit. I've got no idea if that's true, it just sounds true. We moved him back to minus one at the start of the new campaign. We assumed he would be unbeatable, and there are cracks appearing already. It could be him, it could be Andy Halliday. I hope it's one of you. So give us a call right now on the same number, and the lines close for Beat the Pundit at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. We're looking back on the weekend's biggest talking points, or as many of them as we can squeeze in, because there were loads. If you think we've missed one, give us a call right now, 01419511025. It's not just the weekend's results. Things are moving on. Rangers are away already, getting set to take on Victoria Pilsen. What version of Rangers will we see? Lennon Miller, speaking of flying out, he's gone to Italy for a medical ahead of a move to Udinese. A fairly sizeable fee, a club record for Motherwell by the looks of it, and then some. So give us your thoughts on that and anything else. Do it now. We'll speak to you after this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. It's all a tough school on a Monday, but do you know what I love about you? It's like the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Everybody's, the phone lines are as busy on a Monday as they are any other night. You obviously know that it's tough, but you know what a scalp. And maybe they've heard that Roger Hanna is now beatable. Is that what's happened over the summer?
Always been beatable.
You've not really.
Always been beatable.
Anyway, Ben's on the line. How are you, Ben?
Hi, I'm good, guys. How are we?
And hi, Ben. Who's your team, Ben?
Alloa.
So you're hoping to cause the first shock of the week for your team. Is that what this is?
Aye, well, I'm hoping to get Andy, because we had Motherwell in the Scottish Cup the other year and they put us out, so I'm looking for a bit of revenge here.
And you're playing Rangers this weekend?
Aye, we've got a chance there too, I think, like.
What's get more chance? You beating one of these two or Alloa knocking Rangers out of the Cup?
Exact same, 99% chance.
99%? That's confident.
Honestly, aye, we'll get Rangers a game. I watched them against Dundee, they were rotten.
I don't doubt it, but 99%? That's a Hugh Keevans level of predict, did you hear? He's been.
You've got to be confident,
he's,
though.
He's
eh?
Been handcuffed at the weekend. I'd had enough. No, that's sorry.
Why you get
no.
Something on a Saturday night? No, nothing to do with us.
Not like that. I'd had enough on behalf of the nation. He was calling the game at Ibrox a gimme for Rangers.
Oh, honestly, it was
a gimme, and I said, right, we're going to have to impose sanctions here. If Rangers don't win by two, mm-hmm. because you've called it a gimme, he's banned from predictions for next week. Yeah.
Oh, finally. He should have been banned a long time.
So, listen, he has to behave himself.
A 1 week ban?
It's a 1 week ban at a time, and then we'll revisit it.
Mm-hmm.
Think that's fair?
More than fair. It should be longer than a week, though.
I know he'll be listening, because he sent some nice knitted goods in from Mrs. Keevans for your young baby, and he's been texting me to make sure you received them.
He did. I will text him after the show, but I want to also thank Mrs. Keevans for the lovely gesture. Thank you, Hugh.
What an effort. Anyway, right. The blue side of the new Beat the Pundit coin means Andy Halliday. The red sign is Roger Hanna. Let's do it. And it was
Red Redemption.
Red Redemption.
Like that. That's
see
good.
What he's done there.
Uh-huh.
Good. Right. Okay. Let's get
good luck, Ben.
Right.
No, Ben's thank you. No, you too. Just right. Okay. 30 seconds on the clock. Ben, answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know, okay?
Well.
Right, your time starts now. Who's top of the championship in Scotland?
St Johnstone.
What was unique about the two goals in last season's Scottish Cup final?
Pass.
Who became the first league sponsors of the SPL in 1999?
Clydesdale Bank.
True or false, Owen Coyle's middle name is Columba?
False.
Which championship team had two brothers scoring for them on Saturday?
Dunfermline.
Who was the top scorer for Hearts during the 24-25 season?
Lauren Shankland.
Okay, let's bring Roger Hanna back. Roger, can you hear us?
Yep, you can join Stevie Wonder there.
Oh. Is that up your street?
Yeah, quite like about
okay,
that. Yeah.
Good, okay. Right, let's give you the same set of questions. Have you been rocked in any way by your defeat last week?
Listen, no. Don't get too high with the highs, don't get too low with the lows.
Any feedback from your adoring public?
Oh, Mrs. Hannah slaughtered me.
Out and about. Good, right. Chance to redeem yourself. Same set of questions. You start on minus one and your time starts now. Who's top of the championship?
Sean Johnson.
What was unique about the two goals in last season's Scottish Cup final?
Both own goals.
Who became the first league sponsor of the SPL in 1999?
Oh, Bells.
True or false, Owen Coyle's middle name is Columba?
True.
Which championship team had two brothers scoring for them on Saturday?
Dunfermline.
Who was the top scorer for Hearts during the 24-25
season? 24-25 last season was... Very good question. Blair Spittle.
Okay. Right, Ben, have you done enough?
Probably no, no.
Right, okay. What I'll do is I'll put a cautionary apology out there just in case. Just in case there was maybe a wee sweary word when Ben couldn't remember the first answer. Oh. I might be wrong, but very quiet. But just in case, I am sorry on behalf of everybody.
See if Ben is as good as he was confident. It couldn't be a 0-2, could it?
We'll find out. Who's top of the championship? It is St Johnston. And Roger gets it. Ben didn't, so we're level.
Oh, Ben's hopeless.
We're level.
You're hopeless, Ben.
What was unique about the two goals in last season's cup final between Celtic and Aberdeen? They were both own goals. Roger gets it, goes one in front.
Ben didn't get it.
Your team, what? Hannah, tonight.
I know, but all that chat. What that cockiness?
99%, he said. Who became the first league sponsors of the SPL in 1999?
Royal Bank of Scotland.
It was the Bank of Scotland. Was not it? The Royal Bank.
Bank of Scotland. Yeah. Would I got that fast?
And
Royal
then,
Bank?
Did the Clydesdale take over from then?
Must have, yeah.
Aye.
No. And then Bells was before the SPL.
Yeah, it was.
Owen Coyle's middle name is Columba. Ben even got the wrong side of the 50-50. Said false. The championship team who had two brothers was Dunfermline, John and Andy.
Yeah.
One was a terrific goal as well. Did you see it?
I saw them the week before playing for Dunfermline and Morton. And a very proud dad, Andy, who I remember playing for Dunfermline.
Right. Did he not score against Celtic? I saw someone posting the goal earlier on today.
Yep, good player.
The top scorer for Hearts during the 24-25 season, I'm surprised that this was still Lawrence Shankland.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Even the ones that got to the end.
I thought Kabanga straight away.
Yeah, according to the producers who never get anything wrong on here, I think you're safe. And
I think they were trying to lure me into a shout of Lawrence Shankland.
Ben
and then
got it. So you got two, but you got four. Take away your one and you won anyway. Thanks for playing, Ben.
Cheers, Ben.
No ball. Right, cheers, guys.
And all the best, Ben.
Apologise on behalf of Clyde One Super Scoreboard and the world if indeed Ben let out a wee frustrated.
What can I say?
No, you know one of those where you can't remember what you're going to say and just. It's not the worst crime in the world, but I'm sorry. I couldn't quite make it out. Just in case. Is that going to get me off the hook?
Yeah, that'll get you off the hook. You know what I was looking for when I came in the studio? That pink bucket hat. Where is it?
Oh, I think he took it home with him.
Did he?
Yeah.
Was it his?
Not sure, but Gordon DL wore a pink bucket hat in honour of Oasis for the full show on Saturday. We're not even on camera on Saturday, remember? And he said he was taking up. Said he wanted to wear it that night or something.
I've no idea. Did we hear how the mushroom got on?
At what?
He was there Saturday night, wasn't he?
Oh, I thought you meant in the dugout on Saturday.
No, we know that.
I think he still went. I think a draw is enough to.
Yeah, that'll be enough to let him
to see you. See you go out.
He'd be through there.
Hold on.
Oh no, that's no good.
Oh no,
that's no good.
What's happened?
They're telling me that we've got a VAR call on Beat the Pundit.
Get Ben back on the phone. Get Ben back on the phone.
Well, how did Ben not even know this? They said he said St Johnson. I just must have glossed over that.
He did say something like that.
I didn't think he did say St Johnson.
No, he said something like, I thought I said that or something like that. I don't know.
Ah, right. Do you know what it is? Well, to be fair, cut me some slack. I'm just panicking because I think he swore when he couldn't remember it.
True.
So he didn't accept his first. If we accept his first answer, it was.
So it's a tiebreaker.
Ben, are you back? Did you say St Johnson?
Hello, it's good to be back.
You went
quiet now, pal. You
went
quiet now.
You weren't there after all.
Did you say St Johnston, Ben?
I did say St Johnston.
I'm sorry. Well, do you know what? To be fair, you threw me because I thought you swore, so I was panicking. I swore under my breath.
That's my bad. I apologise.
Oh my goodness. Here we go.
That should surely be a 1 point deduction.
And is it definitely Lawrence Shankland, top scorer from last season?
Let me check.
No, listen, I trust.
Here we go, Andy. Come on, just leave it.
He's panicking.
Who did you say?
Well, you said Shankland. That's what I mean. That's the one that Roger didn't get. Yeah, I'll check.
Okay,
no, don't you worry. We'll go for the tiebreaker anyway. Right, it's the same question. We'll get Roger to write his answer down. I'll then invite Ben to give me your attempt. How many times have the Scotland men's team played England? Write it down quickly, Roger, I would advise you. How many times have Scotland men's team played England? Ben, what are you going for? Roger, show me your paper quick.
I'll say nine, like.
Nine!
Ah, you're Ben! Hopeless. Ben! Hang up, Ben.
Kick him off. Who let him back on? Nine times.
You have to remember, I'm only a 2003 bear here. Right?
I know, but it's the oldest fixture in international football.
Oh,
many times, isn't it?
It's 116 and Roger Hanna's got it on the
nose. No way.
It's 116.
Bang
on. Oh, I thought, so was that still a guess?
That's a guess.
Seriously, thought you just read it somewhere
no,
recently.
No, it's a complete guess.
116,
that's
bang on. Look at that. See that? You try and trip up Roger Hanna and he comes back swinging.
He didn't even say St Johnson, Ben.
No, I think he did. But I'm deaf and usually would apologise for that, but I'm letting myself off because I thought he swore and I'm panicked and, you know, that's what happens. Live radio and all that stuff. Well, they all count. A win's a win. Still feel like you're just not in the swing of things in the new season. Yeah. Scraping by.
These 2 hour shows. Good in the 1 hour show. That wee 6:20 slot was good for Beat the Pundit.
That's outstanding for you.
Good guess.
Bang on the I, the way you did it, I just assumed
that's the best guess I'll have this season.
Yeah,
it's like Ben Brannan's goal.
116. Anyway, there we go. It's a victory for Roger Hanna on Beat the Pundit. Right, George is on the line. How are you, George?
All right, guys. Good evening yourself, Gordon. Good evening yourself, boys. I think it's Andy in there.
Mm-hmm.
And Roger.
Hey, George.
What are you thinking tonight?
The point is it's alarming. We see all the sort of, I don't know if it's mind games, guys. It could be mind games with Brendan. He's been like that in the past, you know, with the airport and that fiasco, the things that you know about. You've seen the papers. He likes to play wee games. He wasn't wearing his cup tie yesterday, which is quite alarming for every Celtic fan.
Is it?
And I think that's a major, that's a point that I would like to put across to the panel, that he's wore his tie in 85 degrees in all parts of Europe with his suit on. And yesterday he was up at Aberdeen. We wasn't really that hot yesterday, you know, but he never had his club tie on. And I think that's alarming for every Celtic.
Alarming? Do you think that was a silent protest, George?
That's not just a silent protest. That tells me, guys, that he's not going to be there next season.
You've read a lot into that.
In what way, though? What do you mean? How can no tie tell you he's not going to be there next season?
Because he represents the club to its highest standard, guys. He's always wore his tie. He's always wore the club tie every game. You look at every game across it, Brendan over his two spells at Celtic. He's always wore his club tie. Always. And all the other time he didn't wear it, guys. But the time that he left during the time it was just before he left for Leicester, he didn't have his club tie on in the game against Motherwell. It's only twice that.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Is that true? Because there's not a chance I'm going to troll through every picture.
If we fact check that, he might be onto something.
So the last time he didn't wear a tie was the game before he left previously, you Roger. Come on, you know everything, yes. Mr. 116.
It's funny because I was looking. It's funny how things catch your eye. Russell Martin's been getting it tight for not wearing a shirt and tie, wearing his T-shirt.
And his hair, yep.
Jimmy Tilleen, T-shirt yesterday. Derek McInnes, at Tannadice yesterday, T-shirt. I think Brendan's just trying to break people in. You know, he's started taking the tie off. Next week it might just be the white shirt and no
in
jacket.
In fact, you've come dressed like Brendan Rodgers then tonight.
The following week, Brendan, by the end of September, Brendan will be out in the T-shirt. Right, Hugh Keevans will be in here in a T-shirt.
He doesn't always wear the shirt and tie, does he?
He you know something, he does.
Did he not go there? I thought he had the round neck jumper last season.
He has had
it.
I think the shirt and tie was on under the round neck jumper.
Right, forget that. Do you buy George's theory that the no tie is alarming and is a sign that he is leaving the club?
No, and I think it's more likely he spilled his soup down in the pre-match meal.
It could be that, George, couldn't it? It could have been a wee stain. Brushed his teeth before he left the hotel or coffee, tea, soup.
They wonder I'm laughing, boys. They wonder I'm laughing. No, that's a big statement to me as a fan. It's alarming as a fan, mate. You look at that and he's always maintained that he's to the highest standard, that he represents the club to that standard. And to me, I don't buy that at all, guys. I don't buy the T-shirt and that. I don't. That no for me. It's definitely not. That to me, since I seen it, I phoned a few of my friends and I went, that's the statement we were all looking for, in my opinion.
Listen, Joe, we've had a wee chuckle about this. On a serious note, today was the funeral service for Lisbon Lion John Fallon. Condolences to the family and all his friends. And Brendan led the Celtic delegation to the funeral service today. John Kennedy, Callum McGregor, I think Kieran Tierney and others were there as well. And Brendan had his suit on and had the club tie on today. I genuinely think, George, it could have been something as silly as a stain or a spillage in the tie, and that's why he didn't wear it yesterday.
Now, it's the analysis of the tie. Someone did say that he did have a belt on as well. I noticed.
He never had a belt on?
I don't know.
By the way, check if he didn't have a belt on against Motherwell.
He's got great belts as well. I've seen him wear belts, you know, kind of monogram belt. Lovely. He's a very snappy. He is a snappy dresser. And I think it is noticeable
is
when he doesn't wear a tie. I don't think there's anything sinister in it whatsoever.
He did make some quite interesting comments again, incidentally. Not directly related to the tie, but let's hear from Brendan Rodgers on the sort of Hugh Keevan's least favourite word narrative that's going around at the moment.
Yeah, I thought we were excellent. We had real good control and domination of the game. Scored two outstanding goals, could have had more. And then in the moments we had to be strong, we showed strength and power and kept any efforts at goal to a minimum. So really pleased for the players. Yeah, there'll always be a narrative around us. You know, I'd heard something the other day about 2 years. Oh, they don't play good football and don't play that. We've never played that in the last 2 years. So I think there's a number of people that really don't like me here at Celtic. But with me and looking at the team, I'm really happy to see how the players are, the current players that we have.
You know, when I heard those quotes yesterday, Gordon, the first thing I thought of was, where did he hear this? Where did he read this? Because I don't remember anyone saying that.
It always makes me worry that it's on here, usually.
I think they had a poor performance in the Scottish Cup final, and everyone would agree with that. But since Brendan Rodgers has come back to the football club, Celtic have swept more or less everything before them. They reached the last 24 of the Champions League last season. They pushed Bayern Munich all the way. They won the league at a canter. They won the League Cup final against Rangers. They've started with 2 wins and 2 clean sheets. They're about to go into a Champions League playoff at home, one that they're expected to win. Brendan's brought some terrific footballers to the football club. So I'm not quite sure who said that. But it's interesting to hear any manager talk like that.
We get some pretty crazy calls on this show.
Yes.
We get some outlandish remarks. I don't even think on this show we had callers after the Aberdeen final or any other Celtic defeat for that matter, saying that Brendan Rodgers should not be the Celtic manager. So I find it very interesting. I would love it if he elaborated on it. Maybe Roger, his next press conference of your good self, can ask him to. But I just find it really strange. I don't know where the comments would have came from or where he'd have seen that.
Because I think naturally he used to refer to, you know, when he first came and the sort of difference, Roger, and the number of fans that greeted him the first time versus the second time. But
yeah, but you know why kind that
of
is.
Over that.
Yeah,
I think for the vast majority of people,
100%. As soon as Brendan won his first league title back, then the vast majority of people were over that. There's not a football club in the land where everyone stands square behind the manager. Listen to the first half dozen callers tonight about Russell Martin. He's only been in the door 2 minutes, Gordon. So there will always be a small minority who don't like Brendan Rodgers. But I think he's done a very good job in turning public opinion back behind him. But the way his team has played, his team plays an attractive style of football. And when there are critics, Andy says, you don't get people on here saying they don't want Brendan to be the manager. When Celtic have poor results, as they had in the Cup final, I always tend to think the critical supporters turn on the board rather than the manager.
But definitely not reading too much into the absence of the tie, no? Which all in agreement?
I'm going to ask him. I'm going to find out and ask him.
Sorry, George, 01419511025. Good time to call. We'll get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here at 01419511025, picking over the weekend's talking points. If we're missing any, give us a call, please. Good time to launch the full time teaser though. Thank you to the sensible donkey for sending it in. Cyril, I just think this is too easy for Andy Halliday, but we'll give it a go. Cyril Dessers scored from the spot against Victoria Pilsen in Champions League qualifying. Can you name the eight other players this century to score a penalty in a European group stage or knockout match of any competition? So the eight Rangers players this century to score a penalty in a European group stage or knockout match in any competition.
James Tavernier.
Just the eight times in the Europa League, once in the Champions League. Okay.
Alfredo Morelos.
No.
Oh,
Roger, no chance. Roger, worst penalty take you've ever seen.
Oh, took some.
Chris Boyd.
Yes.
Torino.
Livorno.
Livorno.
Come on, mister.
Paul Gwen.
No, he didn't score one. No. Speaking of random Italian clubs, that's a very clumsy link. Your teammate Lennon Miller spotted, snapped at Glasgow Airport this morning.
Papped,
that's it. Flying out to Italy somewhere ahead of a potential medical at Udinese. What's the inside? I don't expect you to give any secrets necessarily, but what's the kind of feeling now from you and your teammates? You've spoken about many times on here.
Yeah, not too different. Kind of what you felt since we came back for pre-season. Always felt it was going to be really difficult to keep hold of a Lennon Miller. I don't think that particularly suits Motherwell as well as Lennon. Obviously, we had a year left in his contract, and you always knew that when the time came that he moved on, you were going to be demanding a club record level fee. So it'll be really interesting to see what that fee will be if this goes through. But what I will say is, loved getting to know him, loved playing with him. Great boy, great character, and the future is extremely bright for Lennon Miller.
Jeez, definitely sounds like he's away. Motherwell fans listening to that. How's it been? Because obviously the manager spoke at, was it Friday night we played it, saying that, well, he's been preparing for St Mirren all week and he could be involved. He wasn't involved. He then said afterwards that things had changed. Now we know why, because he's gone and had the medical. Has it been plain sailing behind the scenes when these things are bubbling away?
I think so. We've certainly not been distracted as a group of players. I don't know how it's been for Lennon, but obviously you got that little niggling injury against Carlisle. So I think that, in a way, made it a bit more seamless, because there was never any, you know, a bid came in for Lennon, Lennon got distracted, didn't want to play, some of the stuff I've read, which is a lot of nonsense. Ever since Lennon's been here, he's been fully committed to Motherwell. He's always been available when called upon. And I think he's been a fantastic servant for Motherwell, and I think Motherwell have been fantastic for Lennon Miller. So glad that it's going to end amicably as well. We're going to miss him as players, and I've no doubt as well that the Motherwell fan base are going to miss him.
A 0-0 draw at St Mirren at the weekend. Obviously, personally, you'll want to play more than you are at the moment, but he's still managing to almost, if you can, as a footballer, when you weren't involved, enjoy seeing all the hard work and the style of play that the manager's trying to instill coming together.
Yeah, definitely. And I thought that was evident at the weekend again. I think we are frustrated that we probably didn't create many chances considering the amount of control that we had. But I think in terms of style, I think, again, anyone who was at the game will see what we're trying to do. And I don't think it was a poor performance from us at all. I think I thought we built the game well. I thought we had loads of control of the game. It was just that final third, whether it be decision making or lack of quality on the day.
And is that something that you as a group are sort of relaxed and confident that will just come in time, or is it something that might need to be addressed in the transfer window? We've still got a couple of weeks left.
Both for me. I think we've got a lot of trust in the people that's already in the building. We're of course going to get better in terms of what the manager's trying to do here, but for me, I think we need help within that as well. Hopeful that the club is pretty active, which I imagine they will be. And I think anybody, any football club, if you get any ambition as a team or any ambition as an individual, you welcome good players to the club. So I'm hoping personally that Motherwell are on the lookout to bring in bodies that can help us.
An interesting one, Roger, because there's always two ways of looking at everything. A lot of Motherwell fans were encouraged by the performance, because not many teams go to St Mirren and are as comfortable on the ball as Motherwell were in that first half. But then maybe I think you're still allowed actually to look at it the other way and say, well, you didn't create that much and didn't score, so maybe St Mirren fans would feel that some of the praise would be over the top. You can almost see it from both sides.
Yeah, and I actually wondered, Motherwell going there, whether they would have the ability to match St Mirren's physicality, if you like, you know, sort of earn the right to play first and foremost, and they did. And, you know,
I think what's been lost, but a lot of the focus obviously has been in the Lennon Miller situation. But Motherwell go in there with Stephen O'Donnell and Paul McGinn, two right backs playing in at centre half. And they kept a clean sheet against a St Mirren team that's, you know, Mandron and Idowu, and they just get Bacchus back, and they've got Phillips playing well and O'Hara, etc. I think that says a lot. They also lost Katrumbis to injury. You know, Tom Sparrow coming on at right back. I think there was three of the back four really playing out of position, and the other defender is new to the club. So, I think Motherwell can be quietly pleased with what they've done in the first 2 weeks. The high profile point at Fir Park against Rangers, and then a less high profile point at the Smyzer on Saturday. And yeah, I think, you know, all things been told, I think Lennon's departure, great for Lennon, great for the club finances, but I think your manager will be quite happy that the circus has left town and he can now focus on the football.
Let's bring in David, who's on the line. How are you, David?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Evening panel.
What's your point tonight?
David.
My point tonight is probably, it's more about Max Ahrens playing at right back.
Sorry. Listen, my apologies, right? We've got two Davids on the line, and the other, David and Motherwell, just pipped you and Gart Kosh to the post, David. We'll speak to you in a second.
See you in a minute, David.
You'll see why, because it was tying in with what you guys were discussing. David and Motherwell, take it away.
Hi, lads. How you doing?
Hi, David.
Thanks, David.
Yeah, I was just silent there. Before I speak about Lennon Miller, Andy, your summation of the Celtic left side, my opinion shows, despite your obvious allegiances to the team that I dislike very much, where is your pundit, mate? To be honest, you agree with everything I say about Celtic, but as for Lennon Miller, I think Celtic will go really, really rue what's happened to you, letting Lennon Miller move over to Italy. I know that he's probably looking at what's happened with McTominay, Gilmour, Doig, and there's more probably, but I think the Callum McGregor's being 32 and Celtic looking to continue with the core of Scottish players in our team, I think we'll really regret letting this boy move to Italy without just getting in and just telling him and his father, look, you're going to be the future of Celtic. Disappointed either way.
I suppose what we'll never know, Andy, or maybe you do, is, and maybe we do in time, is it's always been quite public that Lennon wanted to move abroad, yeah, or tried to. Could Celtic have afforded the four and a bit, up to five, whatever it is, million fee if they wanted to? Yes. How much did they want to do that? How much do you just hear, well, he just got his heart set on moving abroad anyway? So you wonder if we'll ever find out.
Yeah, well, where Lennon's choice would have been is obviously all hindsight. I think he's been pretty vocal in the fact that he's always, you know, liked the abroad style of football. He always seen himself playing abroad. But for me, what I will say is, and I've always found this quite difficult to speak about while Lennon was still a Motherwell player, but now that it seems as if he's moving away, I can say, I find it utterly baffling that Rangers Celtic haven't went in for Lennon Miller. For me, by far and away, clear as day, the best young talent in Scotland, why would you not try and do as much as you possibly can to welcome you to your club? Now, like I says, Lennon's always fancied abroad. He might have chose it anyway, but the fact that you've not done everything you can to prize in a player that can be your stalwart in the midfield for 10 to 15 years, for me, is quite frankly astonishing. It really is, especially when Rangers have spent 20 million this summer. Celtic obviously need a natural replacement for Callum McGregor over the next year or so. I just find it honestly, quite frankly, mental that neither club has went in for him.
Everything you say and everything David says is correct, Andy. Celtic did have a tickle in January. My belief is that Lennon's been sounded out about teams in Scotland, or a team in Scotland, teams in England, and Lennon wants to go overseas. It's as simple as that. He'll seen how Scott McTominay, Billy Gilmour, Lewis Ferguson, Aaron Hickey, Josh Doig, all of these guys have done overseas, and he wants to go and experience that. A lot of it's about football, but I think a bit of it must be about lifestyle as well. And I think he wanted to join a football team that he's going to play in, week out. I think he wants to go to a coach who is going to help him develop his game the way that the other Scots in Italy have developed. And I think he wanted to do it without the everything that comes with playing in Glasgow.
Thank you very much to David number one. David number two, and Gart Kosh, you take it away. You gave us a wee hint of what your point was about earlier. You carry on.
Aye, so my point tonight, panel, is about Max Ahrens taking James Tavernier's position. I just feel that James Tavernier's got a lot more physical attributes and technical ability than what Max Ahrens has shown so far. And I think a reason behind that and him playing is because I feel that Russell Martin has brought these players in and he feels like he has to play them. I think Joe Rodwell's another example of that, whereas what Andy was saying earlier, Raskin had probably much more of an impact in the game at the weekend there than what Joe Rothwell did. I just feel that because he signed him, he's scared to bring him in. It was just to see what he thought about that.
Roger?
He's certainly not taking, you know, when you played him at left back, I think people were saying, ah, he's not a left back, and they're cutting him a little bit slack. In a couple of games that he's been at right back in place of Tavernier, he hasn't shown. Tavernier's come on in both games. People have complained for many years in this show about James Tavernier, and I've given them the same stock answer every time, that Tavernier isn't the biggest issue at Rangers, and Tavernier will be put out the side when Rangers get someone who's better in that position. They've tried a few, they haven't found any so far, and from the limited view snapshot I've seen so far, Max Ahrens isn't better than James Tavernier.
That has to be the key, Andy, for me, right, just kind of looking from the outside, is that it doesn't even matter which side of the James Tavernier's good or James Tavernier's not good debate you fall on, because what isn't in doubt is the numbers that he contributes, mm-hmm. right? The goals and assists, and he's the club captain, and he's been such a stalwart. So, surely, regardless of what you think, it has to be an obvious upgrade to take him out of the team, or it's just not worth the hassle, because you're going to lose the goals and assists. You're going to have the situation where you've got the captain and all that stuff. So it needs to be an obvious upgrade. It's so early. Is Max Ahrens that? Does he look like he could become that?
At this moment in time, again, in the limited viewing that we've seen, you've got to say no. But me personally, I'm going to judge it off of two games, because I can't judge it off him being a left back. So I'm going to judge it off a Tuesday night against Victoria Pilsen. I'm going to judge it off the weekend. I don't see an upgrade on James Tavernier at the moment. What you sacrifice in terms of attacking output and numbers, I don't see a huge upgrade defensively either. I thought he looked, again, I'm going over to when he played at left back, but I thought he looked defensively suspect in both legs against Panathinaikos, specifically in Athens. But you've got to say, with the pedigree that Max Ahrens has got in football, the clubs he's played at, the amount of games he's played in the English Premier League, you're expecting an improvement there. I don't think there's any doubt. But what is Rangers' best team at this moment in time? For me personally, it's still with James Tavernier in it.
That's the thing now though, David, isn't it? In terms of team selection and Europe tomorrow, it's maybe not a fierce debate about the team because you're 3-0 up, so you've actually been in quite a good position. Yeah. But the whole point was Motherwell, very critical from Russell Martin. Then big changes. James Tavernier comes out, Nicholas Raskin comes out. You get the good win against Victoria Pilsen. So people say, oh, well, well done, that was brave. And now, is this the best team? But then that's the team that couldn't come up with the goods at home to Dundee. So where are you now then on what that strongest team does look like?
I would still bring James Tavernier in, and as everybody's already spoke about, I think that Raskin's probably still one, if not the best player at the club, I would say. And he's getting kept out of the team at the moment. I was at the Pilsen game through the week. I thought we were absolutely terrific, but no disrespect to the opponent, I didn't think that they were the best side that we've played against in Europe. But as per the two league games that we've played, and I was at the game at the weekend there, I just thought, in terms of Max Ahrens, there was a lot of time that he could have brought the Ant-Man into the game by opening up his body and giving him the ball, but he chose to turn inside time and time again, and I just think it slows the game down.
Oh, sorry, I still can't believe the names of a player called Ant-Man. It just makes me chuckle every time I hear it. I know what you mean about Pilsen last week. You can only beat the team that's put in front of you. Pilsen weren't the best European team I've ever seen, David. But Dundee weren't the best domestic team I've ever seen, and Rangers couldn't beat them at the weekend. So there are a lot of issues at Rangers at the minute. I think Tavernier's a better solution at the minute than Max Ahrens. I think you have to find, as Andy Halliday says, you have to find space in that midfield for Raskin. Whether that means no Rothwell, whether it means no Diamande, whether you change the way they play, I'm not sure, but you need to get Raskin into the team. I'll be fascinated to see. I'm now curious about Thelo Asgard and Mikey Moore and will Hamza Aigerman come back, and if so, when? Because that gives Rangers more attacking options up there. That was one of the things that sort of stood out to me at the weekend. When they had their backs against the wall against Dundee, they were throwing on Kieran Dowell, and it kind of brought a negative energy to the place. They were throwing on Danilo, who never looks as if he's going to score a goal. They were throwing on young Finlay Curtis. Big ask for a young lad, albeit he started the season well. Rangers need more attacking options. They need more depth. Well, and
I was going to say on that, nothing will really change for tomorrow.
No.
Happy birthday, Mikey Moore, I guess, because he's 18 today, which means it's no longer classed as a minor in the eyes of FIFA, which means his registration should go through. But yeah, he's not in the European squad.
For Alloa.
So it should be back for the weekend. And Russell Martin saying tonight that Aigerman and Asgard should be as well. I get that that's always to be taken maybe with a pinch of salt over the last few weeks.
Mikey, if you send in your size, Mrs. Keevans will knit something for your 18th.
Thank you to David. What about this teaser? Can you name 8 Rangers players this century before Cyril Dessers to score a European group stage or knockout match penalty? Tavernier and Boyd so far.
Barry Ferguson. Final.
Yes, both legs in 2002.
No. Nacho Novo.
No. Would you believe
Jean-Claude Darcheville, Stuttgart?
Yes, you don't even need to tell me the opposition, but you're that good at it, unfortunately. One more guess, then we'll move on.
I've got one more, but
go on.
When you go, Borna Barisic, Antwerp.
3 times.
Royal Antwerp. 2 in that one game.
And then once in the other leg.
Oh, really?
Apparently, according to the sensible donkey. Right, okay, we'll get the rest and more calls if you fancy it when we return.
1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Andy Halliday are into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've got Craig on the line, but let's quickly ask the teaser again. Can you name 8 Rangers players this century to score a European group stage or knockout match penalty, apart from Dessers last week? Please remember, we need your questions, we want your questions, we want to give you the credit for catching out the pundits. So the email address you need on that one is fulltime@clyde1.com. You've got Tavernier, Barisic, Darcheville, Boyd and Ferguson so far.
Charlie Adam.
Yes.
I'm going to go George Albert.
Nope. One is...
I'm struggling now.
One is in Andy Halliday... territory.
Territory.
Oh no.
Yeah. Maybe not actually. What year did you leave?
2020.
No, it's not. Never mind. Just after that. Forgive
after
me.
After that. Tavernier.
It's actually a game that you've already mentioned. Weirdly, how many penalties did Rangers get in this tie?
Antwerp.
Mm-hmm.
Kamar Roof.
Nope. It's a surprising one. I mean, he was a striker, but.
Oh, so it must be
Jermaine Defoe.
No, it must be Swiss boy Cedric Eaton.
Cedric Eaton.
Oh my goodness.
I don't remember that at all.
Okay, one to get. Let's bring in Craig in Falkirk. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, not too bad. How are you?
Not bad, Craig. What are you thinking then about your team's visit to Livy at the weekend?
I just think Livingston's always got like the Indian sign over us. We've not been beat. We've not beat them in, like, I think it's 10 games. And we played okay for the first 20 minutes, and then. After we just struggled after that. And I really fear for us this year as well, because we've got a young team. I think John McGuinness needs to get some older heads in to help the boys.
You're not getting much older than Brian Graham and Scott Arfield, Craig.
Sometimes, though.
I don't rate Brian Graham. I don't think Brian Graham good enough for the Premier League just now. I think we need somebody else. He's good enough for a championship, but not for the Premier League. Far too old.
Friend of the show, he'll be listening as well. Phone in.
Well, if it scores on Friday night, well,
we'll be forgiven. To use the word again, keep saying it. The narrative, Roger, it was written already. So exactly what was going to happen is if Falkirk didn't get off to a fast start, people were going to say either style of play will get found out in the Championship, in the Premiership, or they should have signed more. And this continuity, this rewarding the players that got you there. Was naive, and you were always going to need to tool up a bit more for the top flight. So these are already being wheeled out. I know Craig's not saying all of that stuff, but essentially that's what's at the core of all this.
Listen, I was there at the weekend. The preamble to it is Falkirk started in the Premier Sports Cup, and they get through their group, and they go to Celtic Park on Friday night, so that's fine. They played in Dundee United, who finished fourth last season, you remember. Played in Dundee United 2-2 in the opening day of the season. That's fine. As you say, Craig, Livingston have the Indian sign over them. Took 10 points off them when Falkirk were champions last year. I think it's 8 games in 7 years since they've beaten Livy. A 2-1 on Saturday, there was a wee lifeline there for Falkirk and they just couldn't grab it, and they overcommitted, and Jeremy McKeeler went away and scored the third goal for Livy. I don't think it's time to panic yet. I don't mind the Livy squad. John McGlynn, as I said in the show on Saturday, has great faith and great loyalty and a group of players who have served him really well. A lot of them played in League One, far less the Championship, as you know. I've no problem at all with John McGlynn bringing them into the league. I've no problem at all about their quality. I think Falkirk, just numerically, just in terms of the number of people in the squad, I think Falkirk could do with 3 or 4 more players, because if there are injuries, and there will be injuries because there always are, if there are suspensions, and there will be suspensions, the squad just looks a little light on quantity, if not quality, and they need signings before the window shuts.
Is the reality, Craig, that it's the Livy factor that's making this feel worse? Because as Roger said, Dundee United, European team, still going well. Even look at yesterday, you drew with them, you looked every bit a match for them. It's only the second game in. Is there just something about a defeat to Livy that annoys you?
Like last year, we only took 1 point off them out of the 12, they took 10, and then we're thinking when we go on Saturday there, we're going to win. But as I say, I was there on Saturday and I didn't feel that confident like most of the fans on Saturday, because I knew, I kind of knew in my head that would be it. But we could be bottom of the league, and we've got Aberdeen in a couple of weeks. We could be bottom of the league if Aberdeen beat us.
But you could be clear of Aberdeen if you beat them.
It's so difficult, Andy, because I wouldn't dream of telling Falkirk fans how to feel. But it's like, you, on paper, and I totally respect people want to aim higher, but on paper, if a team of Falkirk's size and length of time out of the top flight, you really should probably just be looking to come up and sort of compete, you know, and take it from, and it, you know, it depends what your aims are.
Yeah, well, John McGlynn said as much, didn't he, after the game, where he says, I don't know if it was Roger we was speaking to him, and he says, we're not going to win the same amount of games that we've won over the last couple of seasons, but you do feel as if these are the games where, if you're Falkirk, you want to try and pick up points, even if it's a draw. I think anybody in this league, especially if you're a team like Falkirk, you'll take any point away from home in the league. But it was always going to be interesting to see how, you know, the brand of football was going to translate in the top flight. The players that have been at Falkirk under John McGlynn in League One were going to translate into the top flight. I always felt, from the outside looking in, I thought they had to recruit in certain areas of the pitch. I think there was only 2 new signings that started the game at the weekend, Lewis Nielsen and Scott Bain. And I think at the moment in time, I've got to agree with Roger, I think they're light in certain areas. And I think over the next 2-3 weeks, I wouldn't be surprised to see 1 or 2 join.
Thank you, Craig. On the subject of last week, Dundee United, they then went away to Rapid Vienna, got a brilliant draw, and showed no real ill effects from that. They ran Hearts very close. It was a brilliant game, Roger. The 2 games yesterday were just excellent. We gave Ben Brannan, or one of you gave Ben Brannan, goal of the weekend, and Hibs had to settle for a draw in the end. But the is that a bit of a statement result from Hearts, just the way they dug it out, making it 2 wins from 2?
Listen, Derek McInnes will be very pleased. They're top of the league, so he'll be pleased with the start they've made. United, a couple of things. They've an awful lot of injuries. You know, Ryan Strain, 10 weeks. Trapanovsky, 10 weeks. I think the lad Papo has got a bad knee injury. He will miss a lengthy period of time.
Will Ferry back from suspension now?
Will Ferry is back. Will be a big. Ross Graham, the club captain, still missing as well. So Jim Goodwin's done well with limited resources. I think he'll get 1 or 2 in before the window closes as well. And Dundee United should give Jim Goodwin a contract extension now before someone else does.
It's easy to fall for it though, Andy, because I think all our predictions are the same really at the start of the season, this season, where everyone goes, Hibs are going to pick up where they left off, and Hearts are going to be really strong, and, you know, the rest are going to have to kind of try and fight it out. And look, that might still be the case, but, you know, Kilmarnock going to Easter Road yesterday and getting the point, even if it is off the back of European football, Dundee United, as Roger said, loads of injuries, facing question marks, can they match what they did last season? These other teams aren't going to just roll over for the big city clubs.
No, and we said it at the start of the season. I think there's a couple of interesting narratives going into the season. I think the top 6, everyone feels as if you've got three strong outfits out with Rangers and Celtic and Hearts, Hibs and Aberdeen, although they've not started the season well, so lots to play for.
A good weekend. Let's round it off for you two on the teaser, looking for one more. So Rangers players who've scored a penalty this century in European group stages or knockouts. Dessers did it last week. Tavernier, Barisic, Eaton, Darcheville, Charlie Adam, Chris Boyd, Barry Ferguson.
Kenny Miller.
No.
I remember him missing one in Paris, so he must have been a penalty taker at the time. Ronald De Boer.
No. It was in 2004 UEFA Cup against a Polish club, which I'll probably pronounce incorrectly, Amica Wronki.
Amica Wronki. Oh, I was at the game 5-0. Stephen Thompson.
No. Shota Avaladze.
Yes. Shota Avaladze. Thank you, Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna. We are back tomorrow from 6 o'clock. Marvin Bartley and Gordon Dalziel will be here. Another big game for Rangers, so we look forward to building up to that one. And in the meantime, enjoy the rest of your Monday.